Agency managers have about a month to come up with new management goals for fiscal 2016 and 2017. You didn't know that. Well, you better listen. As part of the Office of Management and Budget's annual goal-setting process, agencies are following a well-worn path. But this year, that path also includes a little bit of a twist. Lisa Danzig is the Associate Director for Personnel and Performance at OMB. She tells Executive Editor Jason Miller about how the administration wants to ensure long-term focus on achieving its agency high-priority goals. As always, it starts with a memo.
So the goal of this memo is, as we get into the fourth quarter of this administration, it essentially refreshing this process and emphasizing its importance in terms of locking in administration gains on some of the priorities we've already been working on. Year over year, we tend to work on about 50% of the goals transition in terms of one cycle to the next in terms of consistency. So in this memo, we have accelerated the publishing date. So instead of publishing it with the budget in February next year, we're publishing them in October this year, which gives us just a little more time in terms of ramp up and focus. And every year we've required a deputy goal leader, but this time we are creating and requiring a career deputy goal leader to institutionalize the leadership around each of these priorities. We'd also expect, I think, in the fourth cycle of this process that the quality of the goals in terms of the focus on outcomes and their boldness, now that people have some familiarity going through the process, would be stronger. So we're hoping for those three things kind of in terms of a new thing out of this as a result of this memo.
Now, initially when this idea of goal setting first came out, the administration had said, we want agencies to pick, you know, 3 to 8 goals, stuff that was really important to them they want to get done. Is that still the basic structure, 3 to 8 goals, high priority goals, or has it morphed a little bit because it's later in the administration and because there's been so much focus on cross-agency priority goals that maybe aren't listed in those initial, I guess, 17 or 20 of them?
The guidance is still the same, that agencies are free to pick 3 to 8. I think the reality is that as people have gone through the management process of this, they've realized that fewer goals can have more impact if they pick fewer areas of focus. So, for example, Department of Education, I think, had 7 in this last round, and from consulting with them, it sounds like they're going to try and reduce that to closer to 3 or 4. I know from my experience at HUD, I think we started with 5 and really tried to get down to 4 or 3, just because the resources and particularly leadership time this takes to invest in really pushing each of these forward, it's pretty hard to do across 8 areas. But we leave that at the discretion of the agency and what they feel like their capacity is.
And then how does it relate back to those, you know, bigger cross-agency priority goals, whether they're talking about shared services or smarter IT delivery agenda or workforce type that really matter to every agency?
There are some agency priority goals that actually cross over. The veterans homelessness is a good example, where the VA and HUD were both working on that. So the agency priority goals, even though they are at the agency level, doesn't mean that there isn't some kind of collaborative component of them. But to your question about the broader issue, customer service, for example, is one of our management cross-agency priority goals. And I think there are 13 APGs that actually touch on customer service. So we collaborate to the extent there's an alignment or interface there, but they are separate insofar as there's separate management processes and folks involved and separate work plans. But for example, TSA has a goal around pre-check in terms of what they're trying to accomplish in their agency priority goals, and that is a part of the customer service goal where we're collaborating with TSA to support them, and they've come and spoken to the President's Management Advisory Board, and we've had a lot of conversations about how we can both leverage what they've learned in the pre-check process in the customer service goal more broadly and how we can maybe pilot some of the tools in the customer service work on that goal within TSA. So they're hopefully, in the most ideal situation, mutually reinforcing and informing one another, but in some cases there's no relationship because the topics just don't intersect or align.
And I think that's the key, is that because OMB is asking agencies to pick what's important to them, they kind of shy away from cybersecurity as what's important. Not that it's not, but knowing that that's covered somewhere else, they say, okay, let's put resources into a mission area or a business area goal. I mean, that's the big difference.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd say is that the agency priority goals, for the most part, are focused on mission delivery. So we do have 7 mission cross-agency priority goals. But most of the work that you talked about in terms of the management cross-agency priority goals, they're only probably 8 or 9 operationally focused, internal, you know, whether it's shared services or how do we engage our people. The bulk of the agency priority goals are really more outcome-focused in terms of the mission.
The other thing that it says in the memo is talks about the chief operating officer, which in many cases for agencies is their deputy secretary or their deputy administrator. They're to lead data-driven reviews. Talk about those data-driven reviews. We've talked a lot about the specific agency ones, whether when you're at HUD, you had HUDstat, FDA Track. And then we've talked about the cross-agency ones or the broader ones that OMB leads, whether it's PortfolioStat or TechStat or ActStat or CyberStat. But give me a sense of that requirement for data-driven reviews.
These have been in place since the beginning of the administration, and nearly all federal agencies are using this as the main tool to drive progress on their agency priority goals. I'd like to say the way they've changed is that they've matured. I can't say that I know that in full depth, because I think it probably varies by agency, and as leadership changes, these continue to change. But I think probably the biggest change is the growth and we've had with our Performance Improvement Council and their ability to work with the agencies to spread effective practices and really convene folks on topics that are more specific to the agency needs. So, for example, the PIC just started the Law Enforcement Working Group to look at measures that relate to the law enforcement agencies and law enforcement services. And so the data-driven reviews are getting better in terms of the quality of the metrics, the ability to have some simple templates to know where progress is, better in terms of engaging components and field staff in that process, so it's not just a headquarters kind of leadership exercise. And I think that's happening to varying degrees in varying agencies, and it's not a linear path. It probably goes up and down depending on who's managing the performance shop and what the goals are and who the leadership is. But it's the information in the memo is consistent with what we've always done in terms of the data-driven reviews. I think now we're just operating at a more capable and productive way.
Are the data-driven reviews being done only at the agency level, or does OMB or does the PIC in this case, get involved? Maybe the performance improvement officer from that agency does. Does your office get more involved when it comes to some of these cross-agency priority goals?
So we do our own data-driven reviews on the cross-agency priority goals, where Beth Cobert chairs a meeting with all the goal leaders and the relevant stakeholders on the management priority goals. And then we've also done some on the mission cross-agency goals that Brian Deese had led, and now that Brian has left, we have other folks who are participating in. So, for example, we had what we call them deep dives instead of stat reviews in terms of the mission goals, but we had a really useful one around the STEM goal and what our priorities were around that. So, yes, we're trying to model what we encourage agencies to do. We're trying to do ourselves, and partly to hold ourselves accountable, and partly because we believe this is the best tool to drive progress and hold ourselves accountable to this.
Talk a little bit more about the Performance Improvement Council. You mentioned just started a law enforcement working group. What other working groups are there? Can you name a few? And then how has that body come together and really driven this idea of the goaling and the measurements and the outcomes?
The working group that I participated in, which was the Reviews Working Group, has officially changed their name to the Community of Practice since they've been a working group for several years, and I think graduated from that working level where now everybody has established data-driven reviews and now is really using one another as a resource for an ongoing process. They mostly have convened, so they have a number of ways to get information out in terms of speaker series. So folks will come from different agencies and speak about how they've applied analytics at the Social Security Administration, or a team from the UK came recently and talked about how they managed performance within the UK government and managed the leadership transitions. They also have an ambassadors program and an enthusiast program where people come for a couple hours a week or a short time period to kind of get immersed in the performance community. And there's a whole range of performance activities that they are supporting then more directly in terms of trainings or, kind of hands-on. Yesterday, they facilitated a kind of capability-building workshop with GS 9 through 11 IT folks who are collaborating with some of the acquisition folks to try and come up with ideas for how to collaborate better as part of the Smarter IT initiative under the cross-agency priority goal. So they are both directly working with agencies on very specific projects. They are kind of more broadly bringing in more information about how we can do our work better, and then as appropriate, convening folks in various forums to share information. We just did a session a couple weeks ago on storytelling, and data-driven reviews are useful and great, but they don't really stand alone. You need a narrative about how you're communicating the progress you've made, how you communicate the decisions that need to be made, how you really tailor information to various audiences. So several people came and talked about their story and what the elements of good storytelling is. So they're really try to be responsive to the needs of the performance community and the needs of the goal leaders in terms of what the gaps are around accelerating performance management in agencies. And I think we're continually refining our understanding of where those gaps are and then developing solutions around that.
Let me go back to the memo for a second, because the other thing the memo talks about is that the agency should reach out to key offices within the EOP and obviously OMB. Are you talking about OFPP, eGov, or are they more about the RMOs? How should that communication happen?
So this is consistent with previous guidance that agencies regularly work with all the different offices you named and different offices across the EOP. So we just want to ensure they're continuing to consult with all those normal stakeholders and policy councils. So I think a lot of that comes via the RMO. That's often the kind of central point of contact. But agencies, you know, for example, I can use my HUD experience when we're working on place-based work. They have relationships with DPC, and, you know, infrastructure permitting is working a lot with NEC or CEQ. I think that by the nature of the work, they have relationships with the people who they're collaborating with. And to the extent they don't, they often rely on the PIC or our office to connect them if they want to make a connection in a certain place. So I think a lot of those relationships are already happening. I think we included it in the memo just as a reminder that that's an important set of stakeholders who we want to make sure are aligned with this goal-setting process.
Right. I think it's well known, make friends with your RMO, then things will go much easier during the budget time. But one last thing about the memo that you talked about, which I thought was very interesting, was the idea of making sure there's a career official who's really a goal leader versus just an official who's a goal leader. I imagine as we get toward the end of the administration, the people who are political appointees tend to either stay or go. I imagine that's where that recommendation is coming from, knowing that as you get toward the end, you want someone there who's going to be there during the transition and into the next administration.
Right.
And do many of these already have career leaders in place, or the career leaders, is that something new to them?
I think most goals have certainly career involvement and probably some combination of career leaders. My experience certainly is that there was career leadership definitely involved in all of our agency priority goals at HUD. I think the specific designation of being a deputy goal leader is a useful forcing mechanism to create both the accountability and the leadership on the career level. So there may have been career leadership involved, but in a disparate way with a single political contact. And I think we just want to ensure that there is not just a career leader leading a component of the goal, but a career leader who really is acting as a central single point of contact for the group.